We didn't buy more in June, but we did spend more. Thank you, inflation. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour in for David Brancaccio. Retail sales numbers are out, and you don't see economic numbers like this very often. So comparing the first 6 months of this year and last year, retail sales are up 22%. We splurged on furniture in 2021, apparently, sales up 43%. We're playing sports again, sporting goods up 44%. But month to month, things get a little fishy. Retail sales jumped 0.6% in the month of June, but that may be an illusion created by inflation. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri.
So there are some eye-popping numbers in there when you compare the first half of this year to the first half of last year. I think the biggest one is clothing and clothing accessory stores up 74%, sales up 74%. Crazy, right?
It is. Of course, last spring we were looking at sales that were down 90% for clothing. People just weren't doing much. And certainly we didn't need formal clothes. We didn't need work clothes, most of us. And after sitting around the house for a year, now starting to go back to work, starting to do things with friends again, nothing fits. So yeah, it's no surprise we're all out shopping for clothes. The recession last year hit industries differently. The apparel industry was one of the very hardest hit. It's a really tough recovery for them.
Now, month to month, we spent more, 0.6% more in June than in May. But that doesn't mean we actually got that much more, because some of that is inflation. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, more than all of it is inflation. Sales rose 0.6, but that's, as you said, the money spent to buy things. The inflation rate in June was 0.9%. And what that means is the change in the quantity of goods and services bought was actually down 0.3. And this is sort of the function of inflation. The reason inflation is running as high as it is there's shortages of goods. In June, the one that really stands out is autos. We know demand for cars is very strong, but sales of cars fell significantly. And as a result, you know, the quantity of goods sold actually fell. So inflation, like a tax, is limiting our ability to buy what we want to buy.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Good as always to talk to you.
Thanks, Sabri.
Some of the country's biggest banks reported strong earnings this week. JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley beat expectations. And this is with a lot of their people working from home. But these same firms have been aggressively trying to get those workers back into the office. Why is that? From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Unlike some leaders in tech, the titans of finance haven't exactly embraced remote work, says Robert Posen, a senior lecturer at MIT who worked in investment banking, partly because so much of the work is built on relationships.
And maintaining the relationship will be improved if you're face-to-face.
He says banks have also relied heavily on in-person observation to train entry-level workers. Not all banks have taken such a hard line on returning to the office, and the diverging work-from-home policies could become a factor in attracting talent, says Harvard business professor Sadal Neely.
We're already seeing this in many organizations where the competitive edge is to say flexible work is available here.
She says that could be important for attracting workers from high tech who are increasingly sought after in finance. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A historic drought across more than 90% of the western U.S. is threatening farms and the rural communities that rely on them. In California, farmers have seen wells dry up and access to yearly state water allocations restricted. We thought we'd check in with Don Cameron, Vice President and General Manager of Terra Nova Ranch in Helm, California. That's in the Central Valley. Good morning, Don.
Morning.
So, first of all, what do you guys grow?
We grow about 25 different crops, from tree crops, almonds, walnuts, pistachios, to canning tomatoes, carrots, onions. So a real wide variety here.
Wow, amazing. So how is this, how's this drought affecting you all?
Well, we're in the process of re-drilling two wells. They actually ran dry, so it has affected crops. When we lose a well, we lose the water for the fields that well serves. So we've been trying to move water around where we can to continue to keep the crops alive, which this year has been extremely difficult to do. The whole state is pretty well dry.
Now, on top of this drought, you've got a heat wave, temperatures reaching 114 degrees. How do you work in that heat? And what does that do for your water needs?
So our water needs definitely go up when we get into temperatures that high. We can stand, you know, upper 90s, but when we start getting 105, 110, it puts a lot of stress, not only on our crop, but the people that are working in the fields. So we limit the hours. We've switched a lot of the onion harvest to nighttime. Around the fields, they'll put lights. It'll look like a football game going on, and the crews will work at night where it's cooler.
It sounds like these sort of extreme weather events, you're counting on them being a regular fact of life moving forward.
Yeah, no, we've seen changes. We've moved our planting dates earlier in the year, and we're growing later into the fall. But this year is bad. Next year could be even worse.
Yeah.
If we don't have a snowpack in this year, this winter, it's just going to be unbelievable next year. And, you know, because California produces so many crops, when we have problems here, this is going to affect food prices. This is going to affect what's going to be in the grocery stores in the future.
Mm. Terra Nova Ranch is pretty big, and you all are able to come up with some different strategies to cope for now. What about smaller farms? What do you think is going to come of them?
You know, we've seen a lot of the small farmers getting out of farming. Labor is becoming very scarce. It's hard to get the labor when you need it. And the water situation is only getting worse. So it's difficult for a small farmer to keep up and remain profitable.
Don Cameron, Vice President and General Manager of Terra Nova Ranch in Helm, California. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.